True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albar, Tommy Caster with you here on a Friday. TGIF, it's almost the weekend, everybody. Who's ready for it? We got a lot of fun stuff to come up on the show today. We've got to make picks for the weekend. We've got to get you ready for the weekend for K-State and the Kansas City Chiefs. Get you ready for the weekend for the Kansas City Royals. If you're still following along there, we will get you the latest. I think it's time for an official Tommy Jinx. I don't know if Tommy gave it yesterday, but I think we're there. We'll get into that in the show today. Brandon, TJ, Paul will be in the second hour to make some of those picks. We're going to have a lot of fun. We always do on a Friday, and we're happy to be here with you. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Pep Pep Pepperoni Pizza, topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pep Pep Pepperoni, now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Tommy? Good morning. How are you?
Welcome back. Good to see you today. It's a big Friday. We obviously are getting ready for NFL weekend. We're getting ready for just all college football slate. Tonight we've got K-State football in action out in Arizona. The big news that just came down right before we came on the air: Pete Thamel reporting that Dylan Edwards is good to go for the game tonight against Arizona. So it does sound like he's been cleared to play, is healthy. The Wildcats need him bad, and so it's a good thing that they've got him back.
Yeah, they do. We'll dig into that bit of news and what it could mean. And, you know, if he's clear, does that mean he will play? I think is another valid question to ask there, and we'll pick that game and have opportunities to talk about it. The other big news that's come down is Xavier Worthy is practicing. I mean, here we go. Like this does change things a bit. I don't know if that means that he will play, but he is practicing already. So it means at some point in the near future, he will likely play. How effective can he be? What kind of impact does that have or make? We'll get into all of that as well. So a lot of that to cover today, as we get into things here. It's going to be a busy weekend. Don't forget, we'll be out at the fair this weekend with Shocker Nation painting the Kansas State Fair black and yellow Saturday for Shocker Saturday at the Kansas State Fair. It'll be, of course, in Hutch. We have a special live show on site at the fairgrounds there. Myself, Mike Kennedy, Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, a bunch of the head coaches are going to be out there. So tune in tomorrow at 11 o'clock here on 97.5, 1240 AM. Check it out live or in person. If you're out there, come say hi at the House of Capper at the Kansas State Fairgrounds. Again, that is Saturday, and we hope to see you there. Kevin Saul says he'll wear Hawaiian. If I'll wear Hawaiian, you know what that means.
Do you have a black and yellow Hawaiian? Are you going to be able to do that?
I have a black and yellow Razor Ramon Hawaiian.
There you go.
That my brother got for me one time. I don't think I'll wear that. I don't know if I have. I don't think I have another black and yellow.
You know, you could have. Do you have a straight black Hawaiian shirt?
I have. Yeah. Kind of, but it's got lots of other colors in it too.
Okay. I mean, if you had like a jet black Hawaiian shirt, you could wear like a yellow t-shirt underneath it, or something. I mean, you could find a way to make that work.
Yeah. And as it is a Friday fit, and we should talk fashion here, Friday fit, thanks to 35 by 70 Golf Co. That's the shirt I'm wearing right now. Buffalo Roam, not a Hawaiian, but a great golf shirt. They've got great stuff. Check them out. If you want 10% off, use the promo code Jacob at 35by70golfco.com. Thanks to them for the Friday fit. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have that. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull off Hawaiian and Shocker colors. But, you know, as a journalist with integrity, we can't be wearing team colors when we're asking the hard hitting questions on it.
That's the first thing. The first word that comes to my mind when I think of you is integrity. So,
You have to separate this from the other things that I do. I do, in fact, have a lot of that in my other life, just not always here in the mornings when we're making fart jokes and, you know, having a little fun. But yeah, we'll be out there. Come say hi out at Wichita State at the fairgrounds. Oh man, this Dylan Edwards news and this Xavier Worthy news have really upended the picks that we have to make later, Tommy. These are pretty massive storylines to take with us into the weekend. I think mostly because we just assumed neither of them would be factors. I don't know what to make of Worthy and his chances to play. I've been on the road or like in meetings for literally the last like 24 hours so I have got to dig into what the Chiefs are saying about Worthy. The problem is we get him back after we get all the opportunities to hear from the Chiefs typically, so we're not going to get a lot of information from them on that. It's all going to have to be from reporters who have chances to talk to coaches between now and then.
Yeah, I mean, I know that one of the major points from him returning to practice yesterday was that he wasn't wearing one of the yellow non-contact jerseys. He was wearing a usual red jersey during the practice period, which I think that is notable. It looked like he was bulked up a little bit in the shoulder area, like additional padding or whatever that looks like. I don't know. I mean, part of me wonders, you know, leading up to a game like this against the Eagles, if this is a decoy a little bit, you know, like a little bit of a red herring that the Chiefs are throwing out there to the Eagles for this weekend. I've got a hard time believing that Worthy's going to play on Saturday. But, I mean, crazier things have happened, I suppose.
I mean, there could be part decoy to it. I think more than that, it's let's get him out there as soon as we can and see what he's got, right? See what he's got with the shoulder. Typically in the NFL, if you're a full participant in practice on a Friday, you're going to go. Like that's generally how that works. So we'll find out today how limited he is. And then we'll go from there. But it's going to have an impact. And that's a discussion that we'll have, how much of an impact. And we'll have that on the other side. And the other discussion that we'll have now too with this is Dylan Edwards. Okay. He's cleared to play. It's Friday, right? He's cleared to play on Friday. So what does that mean? He's cleared to play tonight. He hasn't been practicing, we don't think. Is he just cleared and now going to just jump right in and play? Is that the right decision? So there's a lot to dig into with these two stories that have kind of fallen into our laps over the last 12 hours or so that we will. We'll discuss it here and see. I'm very curious about both. Obviously very different situations, but kind of a similar, you know, vibe to them. So we'll get into that. We'll get you ready for a Royals weekend. We're going to make some football picks. not as quite as many high-profile headline games across the board in college or the pros, quite frankly, as we had a week ago, but we've got plenty to get to, and we'll pick them in the next hour as well. It's all going to be fun here on a Friday with us on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Don't go away.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Caster, glad to be with you. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You'll see NFL games this weekend on 12 News. Thanks for watching us right now on 12 News Plus, 12 News Connected. We appreciate that. On Facebook, on YouTube, on X, you can leave us all your commentary there. We appreciate all the different ways you listen to the show. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app while you're driving or doing whatever else it is in your very busy life. We appreciate you every way that you take in the show. So we'll start there with the NFL, Tommy. This Xavier Worthy news is fascinating to me. This isn't one of those situations where, you know, maybe a team, I don't know, faked it a little bit. It wasn't as serious as maybe it appeared. We all saw Xavier Worthy run into a Mack truck, and go flying in the game against the Chargers and have to leave the game and very clearly have a serious shoulder injury. We all saw it, right? I don't think any of us that saw it thought there was a chance he'd be back to play the next week. And that's, I think that's the situation that is presenting itself. He's back at practice yesterday. He is participating in practice yesterday. So now today we look at that. And if he's a, you know, if he's a full participant historically in the NFL, that means that you'll play. If you're a partial participant, doesn't always mean that. And of course, these aren't black and white rules, but they're very interesting to pay attention to. He was listed yesterday as a limited participation. So not full, but limited. So today we'll watch it and we'll see what the final designation is before the game on Sunday. And I think it's important. If he is limited, we're going to stay and say, we don't know. But if he's a full participant, that generally means in the NFL that you're going to play.
Yeah, but I think the question becomes if he, let's say, and there's a lot of ifs here, if he is a full participant today, if he does play on Sunday, I mean, that's one thing. The next thing is how effective will he be or can he be? That's the, I think that's the next big thing. You know, because I wonder with that kind of injury, regardless if you're able to come back, you know, this week or not, you're dealing with the shoulder and you're dealing with a position that, you know, you've got to have a lot of arm extension and you've got to, you know, make sure that you are absorbing hits from defenders and all of that. I mean, what's the likelihood that even if he is able to play, that he's able to have a full go at it? Is he able to, you know, be out on the field for the time that he would want to be? Is he able to be effective? Or, like I mentioned in our last break, if he does play, would the Chiefs put him out on the field to try to get some attention on him? And maybe we see some of these other guys, you know, have a little bit more of an output on Sunday. I mean, I think that's on the table.
What I don't think is if he plays, they're going to pepper him with the 9 or 10 targets that they normally would. I think that is almost an impossible outcome. If he's going to be limited with the shoulder, here's the other question for me. How much better can his shoulder get than it is right now? Can it heal more? Or is this version, this limited version, the version that the Chiefs are going to have this year? I don't know the answer to that question either. And I haven't, you know, dug into all the, you know, the Twitter doctors or the sports trainers that kind of chime in on this kind of stuff. So I'll be fascinated to see it. And I'll be fascinated the next time we have a chance to hear from Andy Reid. Although that doesn't always give us much. I think in this scenario, we can learn a little bit there, right? Like, what Do we think that he can do more? Is this what we're going to get? So I think two different things we're looking at here. Like, how does it help him against the Eagles potentially? And then how does that look different than it might look in 10 weeks from now? Is there a chance that over time, Worthy is back to the player that we thought we would have 3 weeks ago? Or is this version of Worthy that's out there right now, limited with a brace, going to be the only Worthy the Chiefs have an opportunity to have until he can have corrective surgery?
Yeah, I think it's the former. I don't think it's the latter. If it was the latter, then I think that the Chiefs and Xavier Worthy, for that matter, probably would have elected for surgery. They're not going to have him. If it's a long-term lingering injury, I think they would rather shut him down, have him get it fixed, and then come back in 10, 12 weeks, whatever that looks like. But knowing that they feel like it's a short-term injury, they feel like it doesn't require surgery, and they feel like they're not going to put him on IR, they're not going to do that if he's going to be less than in the second half of the season, or less than when we get down into the playoff stretch. Like, that's not what, I don't think that's what they're going to do. If that was on the table, you know, if doctors and trainers were saying, look, like, Worthy's going to be able to play, but he's not going to be super effective, and you're just going to have to deal with it for the rest of the season, or you can shut him down, get him healed up, and he'll be ready to go, I think that's a little bit different.
I think it is too, except they already are so thin at the position. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know why. It also depends too, I think, on how long is that surgery and recovery. If you stretch it out now, and the surgery and recovery could still happen in the offseason and him be ready either way for the start of next season, then I think that also factors in. You know, like if you can tough it out for a few months and it will have no different impact on you next season than if you shut it down now, then I do think that also is a factor there. But that's all looking a little too far ahead, probably, in the short term. And again, we're not going to get an answer to this. So the best bet will be we see it. If he plays, what version of him is there, right? And if it does heal over time, I don't know how it heals over time. I don't know how a separated shoulder. What was the official? I mean, if we just get shoulder, but
yeah,
if
shoulder. I don't know. I think separated was what I heard, but I mean, again, I don't know that to be totally true.
It doesn't seem like one that heals without corrective surgery. I don't think. So either way, now how does it affect the Chiefs over this stretch of games until they get Rashee Rice back is the other probably most important part of this. Whether he can come back this week or not, we'll find out. But in general, I think it tells us that sometime before Rashee Rice returns, Xavier Worthy is going to play football for the Chiefs. So how much does that help them? How much does 60% of Xavier Worthy help them? I think it helps him a lot, actually, personally. I think it's a pretty big deal. I don't think he's just going to stand out there and not do things and run routes and be a factor in the offense. And if he's out there, if nothing else, Tommy, if they do feel like they need to pepper Hollywood Brown with the targets, Worthy makes that easier because you have to account for him. You have to account for him more than you would have to account for Tyquan Thornton or whoever it is, the receiver that would step up, right, with Juju and be that other starter. Like, whoever that third receiver was going to be, I would think whatever version of Worthy we would get would impact the defense more than whoever that is, right? And if it's not, then he doesn't need to be out there. So then I do think that helps the offense. And I think in whatever game that they play in this stretch, like, yeah, it makes the offense a little bit better. So how do we now try to reevaluate this 6 weeks? Because if Worthy didn't get hurt in that game against the Chargers, Tommy, we're not making any excuses at that point. The Chiefs need to beat the Eagles at home. You know, like, right now, I feel like the Worthy injury gives them a little bit of an excuse. And I don't mean that like negatively. I mean that very legitimately. Like, that injury to me is an excuse why they may struggle through this first 6 weeks when you combine it with Rashee Rice. If that wasn't there, I don't think only missing Rashee Rice is enough of an excuse to change expectations at all for the Chiefs. So I don't know now what to do in an hour when we make picks with this game. I don't know how it's going to impact me yet. I haven't decided because I didn't have this information until very recently. because it was going to be Eagles for me. And now I'm like, well, is he going to be able to get out there and be enough to take me off of that? The line has not moved since that news has been released. So Vegas sees it as a zero factor. I don't know that I agree with that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, I do believe that the Worthy injury, you know, clearly is impactful for the Chiefs one way or the other. If he's on the field, it makes the Chiefs better. If he's not on the field, it makes the Chiefs worse. Like, I totally recognize that. But at the same time, I mentioned this yesterday with TJ on the show, and maybe I talked to you about this as well. I feel like, and you mentioned like the quote unquote excuse for the Chiefs to struggle through the first 6 weeks. Man, I think that buries the lead. It's impactful. But if you watched that week one game against the Chargers, there were other reasons why the Chiefs lost that game than just Xavier Worthy going down. Now, that was a big part of it because you could clearly tell they were game planning offensively around having Xavier Worthy be their wide receiver one, and then he exits early in the game. And then they had a hard time adjusting from that. But there were other reasons, like the fact that they could not contain Justin Herbert on the ground, the fact that he carved them up through the air, the fact that they couldn't get anything going in the run game. Like, there were other issues for Kansas City than, and I will admit that the Worthy injury compounded those issues. But you look at this game on Sunday, and, you know, Jalen Hurts is, at least with his legs, a more effective version of Justin Herbert on the ground, right? And like, that's where the Chiefs struggled defensively last week in Brazil. And so, like, I think that it can be very easy to pour all of the thought into Worthy, Worthy, Worthy. What are they going to do at wide receiver? And it ignores the fact, it puts blinders on the fact that there are other things that are going on right now that could very easily have the Chiefs struggle through the first 6 weeks, even with Xavier Worthy on the field.
Absolutely. There's no question. An excuse is probably not the right word, because there's never an excuse for a team like the Chiefs to lose. That's not, they don't get that luxury. I just mean like a realistic expectation. Should his injury change our realistic expectations? Maybe that's, and I think the answer to that is for sure it does. Is it a bigger deal than the struggles we saw in the secondary in week one? Is it a bigger deal than the fact that Justin Herbert had a chance to sit back and take a nap in the pocket in the first week? No, not necessarily, but it's a they're all factors together. And so we'll see. What I don't think is going to happen is Jalen Hurts sit back in the pocket and chill and carve them up like Justin Herbert did. I think Justin Herbert is a better passer than Jalen Hurts. But I think he's also going to do things that hurt that defense in other ways. We know he can run the ball. We saw Justin Herbert do that pretty successfully.
He did.
In the game. So, you know, they'll be probably a little more vulnerable to the run from the quarterback and a little less vulnerable to the pass from the quarterback that they're opposing this week. What can Worthy do to offset it and help them keep up if the game does get a little track meaty? He gives them another option in the pass game to pick up first downs and play ball control offense. To me, that's what he does more than anything else, whether he's limited or not. The path to me for the Chiefs to win this game is to control the clock and control the ball, whether that's through the run, which I do hope that they try to do a little bit more of, or whether it's just through some type of ball control offense. I do think Worthy adds that back to the team. That's kind of the role he played toward the end of last year. He became the first read, whatever you want to call it. He became what Rashi Rice was the year before, this option in the short game, right? In the short passing game that helps them move the ball and pick up first downs. They've got to do that in this game if they're going to win. So him being back on the field, like, that's not Hollywood Brown's game necessarily, and he was going to have to try to do it. Juju's too old, I think. I want to say that definitively because he's proven us wrong before.
Well, he's going to be, Juju's been a possession guy for them the last couple of years.
Juju was there last year, and they really found their stride with Worthy, not Juju, right, in that role. So if he can come in and help them do that and help them control the ball, and he doesn't need to come in and make explosive plays, I don't think that's going to happen. But if he can come in and help them try to keep the Eagles offense off the field by long sustained drives, I think that's what he does. And so that's where I'm having a hard time. Like, man, now do I at the Chiefs? It's a home dog. If he's back, like, I wish we could make this pick tomorrow and not today so that we could see what happens at practice today and what he's able to do, because I'm not totally convinced he's going to play on Sunday just because he's back at practice on Thursday for the first time. I don't know that we can draw that direct correlation.
Yeah, I think what I don't want to do, and I'll go back to what I said before, I don't want to overblow his return to practice. It's impactful. I'm not trying to say it's not, but I'm not going to let that sway me one way or the other, because even if he is back out on the field and he plays, I have doubts about how effective he can actually be, a week removed from having a separated shoulder. Right. So I don't want to overblow that. And I also don't want to let it get in the way of the actual other things that are going to be massive keys to the game. Like, I feel like, and I mentioned this yesterday on the show, I feel like the Eagles have three different ways that they can win this game, like three different paths to victory. I feel like the Chiefs have one particular way that if they're going to win this game, they have to have the game go in their direction. They have to, you know, they have to keep Philly off the field. They have to make sure that they are, you know, getting the ball back as quickly as they can. They've got to play ball control a little bit. You mentioned track meet. If the game gets into a track meet or the Chiefs fall behind early, even with Worthy out on the field, if he can go, I'm not so sure that they're going to be able to keep up.
I don't think it's going to sway me off the Eagles, but it was a 1.5-point line anyway. Vegas thinks this is a close game, right? Vegas sees this as a really tight game. So in a really tight game, can he have the impact? That's where I'm like, well, yeah, he can. For sure he can if he plays. That's what's getting me a little bit. Like, is he worth 1.5 by all the numbers nerds that no, he's not. Very few players outside of a quarterback are, like, honestly, like, they're not, they don't move the lines that much. So then you got to take it another layer deeper. Like, if he was fully healthy, Tommy, the Chiefs would still be 1.5-point favorites at home, probably. So what then can we dig out of that? And I do think it's that, like, if you really go inside, I think the only path to a Chiefs win is for them to control the ball. And he does help them do that. They'll be better at doing that if he's on the field. But I don't even know now if he's going to be on the field just because he's a limited participant in practice on a Thursday. Big picture, Chiefs fans, he's back on the field practicing. I do think even if it doesn't have an impact on what we think of Sunday, it absolutely has an impact of what we think of the first 6 weeks of the season until Rice comes back. Don't you think? Like, now we can look at that stretch a little bit differently than we would have otherwise. Like, if he's back on the field, you should be thinking win over Lions in, what is that, week 6?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be concerned about a trip to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. You know, like, I do think it alters that overall.
Yeah, I think it.
Outlook.
I think it's. It's
I just don't think it does Sunday
for sure. It's impactful down the road. It's impactful in upcoming weeks. I'm not ready yet to say that it's going to be impactful one way or the other on Sunday's game.
We don't even know if he's going to play on Sunday. We just know he's back at practice partially. All right. The other big news of the day: Dylan Edwards has been cleared to play. Does that mean he's going to play? Like, this is all a fun game here on a Friday of Sports Daily. We're getting ready to pick these games. We'll have that next. Don't go away.
Dude, you got to hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Caster. We are glad to be with you here on this Friday, having some fun on a Friday. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. Well, I need the coffee today, Tommy. The trip I made yesterday. Now, I will say, the trip I made yesterday is grueling. I got down a little early to the DFW area and played a little golf. I was in over my head. It was to the level of a place that I am not accustomed to. At the old farm.
It looked amazing. It looked phenomenal.
It was incredible. I'm just not used to everybody trying to, you know, like, carry my stuff and I'm like, I probably got it. I got it. But then it's like, nope. Can't do that. Just, you know, went in Rome, right? We had a caddy. It's the first time I've had a caddy.
Did it help you play better having a caddy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Never made more putts in my life.
Exactly, right? Like,
he's like, you know, I think you should putt it right here. And he was always right.
He always read those putts, and you were able to get it in?
Why can't I have a caddy all the time?
I think you ought to hire your own caddy just to, like, run out to Crestview as we play around, carry your bag for you. You'll be the only guy out there that'll do that, but you'll make more putts.
He's like, hey, I think on this one, you should hit it 160, just right over that top side of the green. You don't want to go, you don't want to go 3 feet to the left, 3 feet too far to the left. But, you know, what you want to do is you want to put it right there, and then it's going to kick back down that green, and you'll be good. But you can't go too far to the right, or it'll fall off the backside. And I'm just listening, and I'm like, okay,
yeah, cool.
Let's start with, don't duff this 13 feet.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I played with a caddy. I've done it a couple of times. And the very first time, like, my golf game has improved over the years. The very first time I played with a caddy, I was not any good. I was not good at all. And he would hand me a club, and he'd be like, all right, I want you to take this 6-iron. I want you to aim right here. I want you to hit it. And I would just be like, I mean, I'll do what I can. I can't promise you that I'm going to do anything close to what you want me to do. The nice thing, though, is, like, these guys are good enough that by the end of the round, they know your game.
Yep.
And so they're then pulling clubs for you based on what they think you're going to actually be able to do.
Yeah, I would ask him, because this course was immaculate. I'm not kidding when I say you could putt from, like, 100 yards out. They had this cut of new, what is it, Zoysia?
Yeah.
Or something. Like, but they had it way far out, and it was like the greens were that, it was wild. Of course, they were all like mini golf putts, but, you know, I would look, and there's bunkers everywhere in the middle of the fairway. And I'm like, what about that bunker? He's like, no, you're safe. Like, you're not going to hit that far.
Yeah, you're okay. Right. I could never be a caddy. I feel like I read putts okay, but my vision is not good. I barely can see the ball, my own ball, when I hit it. And, like, my depth perception's not good. I would be like, you know, the player I'd be caddying for would be like, where'd that go? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I'll help you go try to look for it, but I have no clue.
Nah, not having to hunt balls was also glorious.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like there were lots of famous people there. I'll say that, on a Wednesday, and lots of other famous people live there, and be like, oh yeah, that's where XYZ lives. And I'm like,
Where
am I right now?
I'd love the invite next time. I mean, I guess my invitation got lost in the mail.
I would love the invite next time. Obviously, it was not something that I could put together, but another gentleman on the group that I was with was kind enough to have us out, and it was a lot of fun, and it was really cool. And I told him, I said, oh, listen, we'll return the favor at Crestview Country Club. You know what was cool about it? Speaking of Crestview Country Club, great supporter of the show. The caddy has caddied the Korn Ferry Tour here several times back in the day. So he saw my bag tag, and he was like, Crestview Country Club? He's like, I've been there several times. And he was telling me all the stories. And he also has several personal connections to Sam Stevens.
Nice.
And so he brought that up. And so I'm like, oh, that's great. So we're talking a lot about Sam Stevens and, you know, how great he is and how great he's doing. And he had some family connection still to what Sam's doing right now. And then we're on the range, and I'm like, oh, and, you know, Adam Hadwin also lives here now too. So we kind of got two pros that we're following, and the guy next to me on the range perks up. He's like, Adam Hadwin. I'm like, yeah, Adam Hadwin, you know, he's Canadian, but he moved here. You actually met, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, oh, I went to college with him.
Nice.
No way. Like, what's happening right now? Like, never. It was fun. It was cool. Anyway, all right, let's talk Dylan Edwards here. Do you think he plays tonight? When you see that report from Thamel, Tommy, does it make you think he is playing tonight?
Yes, I believe that Dylan Edwards will play tonight. Whether or not he's on a pitch count, I think, is to be determined. But I don't think that story is reported. If there wasn't a high degree of certainty that we'll see him suit up and play in the game tonight.
I agree. The pitch count thing, we're not going to know anyway, because we haven't had enough time with Dylan Edwards this year to know what his normal expected role is going to be. He got hurt at the beginning of that game, so we wouldn't have known anyway. I think it's probably a pretty big deal for this game tonight. I think it could be, hopefully, and maybe should be, the thing that wakens them up. Like, okay, now you've got him back. Can he be this rallying force? Can he get out there? Like, what do you think is going to happen for this team if he plays and on that opening drive, he breaks off a 20-yard run? You don't think that's going to fire everybody up?
Yeah, I think it can be a catalyst for this team. I think it should be a catalyst for this team. Look, I think if you were to ask me to decide which is going to be a more impactful return to the field, Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs or Dylan Edwards for K-State, I would say Dylan Edwards for K-State, at least for this game, the first game in front of them. Long term, it's probably going to be Xavier Worthy, but for this particular weekend, I believe the more impactful return to the field is going to be Dylan Edwards and K-State. They have missed him dearly, especially, and we talked to Fitz about this yesterday at length. It was, I don't know if you have had a chance to go back and listen to that segment, but Fitz had a lot of really good things to say, I think, and he was pretty fired up about where things are with K-State football, especially if the Wildcats are unwilling and unable to let Avery Johnson loose and to do what Avery Johnson does. If that's not part of the game plan, they're extremely one-dimensional without Dylan Edwards on the field. So I do think that having Edwards back, assuming he goes tonight, that should add a pretty important wrinkle to this K-State offense.
Then there's the other element that we've talked about. I do think it's important that they win this game, that they get some momentum, that they do all those things. So the reality is, though, now with the Army loss and the close call against North Dakota, that the at-large aspirations are not going to happen. So if everything is about the Big 12, and it is, and I know Arizona's a Big 12 team, but of course, a reminder, this is not a Big 12 game. They're 0-1 in the Big 12 now. Do those things need to happen before they get into Big 12 play after a bye week next week? As in, can you still be a little conservative with Avery Johnson and be conservative with Dylan Edwards, even if he's back? Can you afford to do that? Or is the vibe right now so negative that you must absolutely go all in to win this game and carry that into the bye week?
I think you have to go all in to win this game. I mean, I don't think...
I hate the idea of playing scared or playing conservative. I don't think it makes any sense ever to do that, right? I don't... It's where you and I typically disagree in the value of, like, preseason, for instance. Like, I don't ever like playing football scared. I think the second that you start playing football scared, you're not playing football anymore. Like, injuries and things, like, they happen in this game. It's one of the worst parts of the game, but it's a part of the game. And if you start playing to try to not do it, you're not, like, you're gonna, it doesn't work that way. And so, yeah, I'm with you. Like, if Dylan Edwards is cleared to play and he's going to play, play him. If Avery Johnson, if there's more in the bag and everybody feels that way, play him. Do it all now.
Well, and that's why I feel like
you can't all of a sudden just turn that switch.
That's why I feel like, and I mentioned this at the very top of this segment, like, we don't know if he's going to be on a pitch count. My opinion would be, if he was going to need to be on a pitch count, you might just be better off not playing him and holding him out after the bye week, letting him get to a point to where he's a full go for the conference season coming up in a couple of weeks. So that would be my opinion. I would hope that if he is good to go, that means he's good to go, no restrictions, full speed ahead. Let's try to unlock this K-State offense. And I think if that can happen, that could be pretty impactful and meaningful for the fan base, for the program, for the players in that locker room, knowing that you're entering into the bye week at full strength and kind of a new lease on the season. But it for sure is going to start tonight.
And here's what full strength looks like. Full strength just means we went to Arizona and we kicked their tail.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's, and so I'm totally with you. Like, if he's cleared to play, he ought to just play. Like, whatever the full normal workload for him is, play him, because if it's like, well, he's not quite 100%, then don't play him, because you don't, like, this game doesn't really mean anything to you in the standings. So if you're not going to get the psychological effect of him playing, then go ahead and rest him again and let him be full strength the next week. Now, in the case of Avery Johnson, turn him loose. He should never not be turned loose. There should never be an ounce of, you know what, let's alter the game plan this week. Let's have Avery run less because we're afraid he's going to get hurt. Like that, you can't do that. That you can't, especially right now when he's so young and still developing. Like there's a difference in, I don't know, telling Patrick Mahomes not to truck a guy on the sideline, and telling Avery Johnson, yeah, we're not going to really let you run because we don't want you to get hurt. You know what I mean? Like, they're not the same. Let him go. I've said it from the beginning of the season. Let him go.
Yeah, we had an entire discussion yesterday with Fitz about that particular thing. And, you know, there's been discourse online from the K-State fan base, a lot of them that have said that Avery Johnson deserves better. And a lot of conversation about whether or not, you know, he should look for a team potentially that will allow him to do what he does
that's
best.
Too premature.
I'm just telling you,
it's too premature.
I'm just telling you, that's been the discourse, did. Right? Like, and so yeah. I think that there, you know, that is probably taking it a little bit too far. But yeah, like if this sort of thing continues, like you cannot play on your heels. And a lot of it comes back to the play calling. I would anticipate there's been enough blowback from K-State faithful through the first 3 weeks of the season that not only can Dylan Edwards, if he can go, he'll be a major impact, I would imagine. But number two, I think we'll see play calling be a little bit different starting tonight with Avery Johnson. At least I would like to think so. And if it's not, then I think we can continue to have that conversation about they're doing Avery Johnson dirty in this season by not letting him do what he does best.
Let's come back to that when we come back to start the next hour. We're also going to make our picks.
We got to talk Royals. We got to talk about the Royals, too.
Got to get the Royals in. We'll finish the thought on that. We'll get the Royals ready, and then we'll get high school football talk. It's all coming. It's going to be a busy next hour. Stick with us here on Sports Daily.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on a Friday. Glad to be with you on this Friday. We've got a bunch coming for you. We're going to make some game picks. Later in this hour, we are going to get you a high school football preview this week with TJ. He's going to stick around and get us all prepared for Catch a Kansas Friday. And we will we'll discuss the Royals and put a bow on this Avery Johnson thing. It's all what's on tap here, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, WBC Delano's debut brew, Hatfield's Mama, a German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character that's smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew. It's available at all three WBC brew pubs. Okay, real quick, Tommy, on the Avery Johnson thing, because this narrative is interesting. And look, I think about some of the things, but I think about these things. We're three games into a season, like the talk of he needs to go somewhere where they'll let him, you know, cook and do all these things. What is that born in, do you think? Avery Johnson started the bowl game in 2023 under the old offensive coordinator, right? It was Colin Klein.
Yeah.
Guess how many times he carried the ball in that game?
10.
7.
Okay.
Last year, he averaged about 8.5 carries per game in his starts. This year, right, he has carried the ball 8, 7, and then 3 times against Army. Of course, against Army, they didn't run very many plays in general. I would contend on this that he is carrying the ball about as much as he's always carried the ball as a runner. Now, is the question. If the question is, should that be more? Should that have always been more? Then needs to be the question. Because the reality is, other than in 23, when he was a true freshman thrust into those games and just ran because, like, that's the only tool he had in his bag. But over the course of that season, when he played, he carried it less. Okay. So, and that was with Colin Klein. So if the thought is he's just going to go run back to Colin Klein and carry the ball, we don't have any evidence that that's the way Colin Klein was inclined to use him. In that one true start of the bowl game, he didn't use him that way. So then last year, he doesn't play that way. This year, so far, he's not playing that way. So I think there are two discussions to have. But the discussion that he's all of a sudden going to run back somewhere and do this so that he can run the ball more, I don't think that's truthful. The question is, whoever his coach is, should he be running the ball more? And I think that I don't think that has anything to do with should he leave or should he stay. It's a stylistic discussion of, is he a better player if he runs the ball more?
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of things here. First off, perception is reality. So, I mean, you can read stats left and right about how many times he's
running
the ball.
It's how many times he runs the ball.
That's a stat. Like, you can,
well, I know,
you can read,
like, it's not a perception.
My point is that at the end of the day, like, they can run him as many times as he has over the course of his career, but the perception is that it's not enough. It might be enough in their mind. It might even be enough in Avery Johnson's mind, but perception is reality. So that's number one. Number two is the fact that I think that there has been a hope or a desire, and mainly from people outside of the program, because I have no idea what the coaches think in this, but there's been a desire by the fan base that as years go on, as he gets older and as he matures, that usage increases, where it's like he's taking a step forward. He's, you know, going from his freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior. We're seeing him layer in different parts of his game. They're going to let him, you know, maybe they start off a little bit more conservative, and then it gets, he can let it go a little bit more as time goes on. That hasn't been the case, right? Like, it's kind of been fairly steady from year to year to year. And so I think that that's a big part of it also, where it's less about, like, yeah, like, how many times did he run the ball with Colin Klein versus Connor Riley and Matt Wells, and now just Matt Wells by himself. Like, I think that, yeah, like, that's a big part of the conversation. But at the end of the day, the perception is that it's not enough. And
right.
That's just the bottom line.
I think that's a I guess my point is that's a pretend conversation. Because the reality is, people are thinking he's going to leave and go back to Colin Klein because Colin Klein let him play this way.
Yeah.
Like, that's the narrative that's out there. And that's not true. That's just not a true narrative. So then the question becomes, what if Avery Johnson doesn't want to run it more? What if these are Avery Johnson decisions? Are we talking then that they need to design him more runs? Is it a scrambling issue? Is it a read option? Like, what is the design? And I think that's a fascinating conversation. I'm not sure the answer is to design him more runs. I think the answer is for him to run more out of the design of the play, right? Use that if the play breaks down. And so I don't think it's all on the coaches. I think Avery Johnson has some decision making there too. And as he develops, I hope that he develops the desire to use his legs a little more. I don't think it's all coaching. I think it's some coaching. But I also think Avery's making a decision not to run some too. And I don't know that I think the answer is to design him 15 carries a game, because I don't know that that's going to be super effective either. He's going to be effective when things break down and he just takes off and ad-libs a run. That, in my opinion, and I could be wrong about that, that's just what I see. But anyway, I thought that was interesting, because I looked as we were having that discussion. He's not really running it any more or less than he ever has. Let's talk Royals, Tommy. Listen, I think we need it. I think we need the Tommy Caster jinx right now at the Royals. 4.5 games back, they're trailing 3 teams. They've dug themselves a hole now against Cleveland and against Texas. They still have the hole against the Mariners. We've got, 15 games left to play. I think it's time.
Out of all the gut punchy games, last night was probably the gut punchiest. Just with, you know, they had the lead and then they give up the lead and John Schreiber lets it go. And it's sad that he's been one of the best relievers in that bullpen all season long. And he's not been good as of late whatsoever. The Royals are cooked. The Royals are washed. You know, like that's,
are they done?
The Royals are 100% done. They are 100% done. And you know what? Look, like if I jinx them and they are able to go on a miraculous run, fantastic. I will eat that. I will own those words. Totally fine with me. The Royals are done. And what's the worst part about it for me, the saddest part about it, the most infuriating part about it, less than 1 week ago, 6 days ago, they were within a half game of the Mariners.
Yep.
6 days ago, they were within a half game of the Mariners. Let that sink into everybody that in a matter
bad time
of
to have a bad week.
In a matter of six games, you drop three of four to the Guardians. You let them right back into the hunt and you're out of it. You're like, in my opinion, they are done. They are cooked. They are washed, whatever you want to call it. It's time to start looking forward to 2026.
Royals fans, you can write your thank you cards and send them to the Odyssey stations if they're able to turn this around, because you'll be able to fully put it on the shoulders of the Tommy Caster jinx. It may be too late for it. This one, we're really pressing on this one. And I've never tried to use it for good either. That could also play in. Typically, it's a more organic jinx. This one, I'm trying to coax it to get a manufactured jinx. I don't know if it works that way, but desperate times call for desperate measures. And 4.5 back with 15 to go is pretty desperate times.
I had my finger on the button, on the nuclear button for the last couple of days, and I haven't wanted to press it. I think I reached out to you 2 days ago. I'm like, is it time for the jinx? I was really debating on whether or not I was going to make that.
And what did I say? I said, I'm not sure anything else is going to work. Yeah, That's what I said. I said, I don't know if there's any other option.
I probably should have done it 2 or 3 days ago, but I waited until today, and here we go. Here's the thing though. Like, mathematically speaking, they're not eliminated. They're not out of it. You've got the Mariners next weekend. You're chasing them. If you can sweep them, you know, but here's the thing. They're playing the Phillies this weekend in Philly, and Philadelphia is really, really good. Mathematically speaking, they're not fully eliminated, but I would venture to guess that probably by the end of this weekend, they will be.
It obviously started a week ago, but they haven't been able to do it. All right. We've got picks to make. We've got the crew in. We're going to make those picks. They've got the games. Paul, TJ, Brandon, we'll get you caught up on the standings, and we are going to make it. We are going to fit six games into this segment, and we're going to do it efficiently and get you ready for the weekend.
I hope you tell Paul that. Are you going to give Paul that heads up that we're going to try to get all six games through in one segment?
In the college games, we should just get a bumper that just says NIL, and like we'll send it to Paul and just play that bumper every time.
Less is more. Less is more in this next segment.
If we've got to get six games in, we're going to do it. I don't know how you guys fared on
we
that
got it all
week,
done. We got it all done last week.
There's one less person. There was. There was one less hot air bag over here to fill the time.
You weren't there waxing poetically about
That's
every
what
single
I mean.
Game.
Yeah. Like you didn't have that to factor in there. I will do it next on Sports Daily. Here come your picks.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
For some picks destined to fail, it's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's pick time, baby. We're going to make some picks. Before we do, Paul has sent us the updated standings. He's got a spreadsheet and computers and all these things to keep track of this thing for us. And so we've got the official word here to be totally truthful. It's, I think, written on a bar napkin in pencil. But we've got it here. And Paul's standings have us here. I am leading the way at 11-8. Paul and TJ are at 9 and Paul and Tommy are at 9 and 10.
Yes, thank you.
TJ is at 7-12. Brandon is at 5-14. But I believe, is that right? 5-14, is that enough games? But I believe Brandon made some progress last week.
I mean, you have to make progress when you go 0-6 1 week. So
Tommy won the week last week at 4-2.
I did.
I'm not kidding. If I could show you guys the hieroglyphics I'm trying to look at here to navigate the standings, but I think that is correct.
Job's still open, you know, by the way.
Any No, Paul, you're doing a great job.
Any volunteers, the job is wide open.
You're doing a great job with it. We greatly appreciate it. All right, let's get right into it. We've got six games to pick, and it starts tonight, 8 o'clock, K-State, out in the desert taking on Arizona. Arizona is getting a point and a half against the team that just lost to Army and struggled against North Dakota. I'm in the lead. I will go first. The Dylan Edwards news, I have no reason when we get that news to not assume that he will play. And I do think that optimistically it could be the lightning rod this team needs. Arizona, I don't think is very good either. I don't know. The question is K-State not very good, or are they not playing very good? I'm still of the camp that they're not playing very good more than they're not good. So I'll take K-State and I'll lay the point and a half. Tommy, that puts you next.
Yeah, you got to have a bounce back, right? Like we keep needing a bounce back. We've been saying it for weeks now. I mean, we're already into the fourth game of the season for the Wildcats, and we keep grasping for this comeback and this bounce back. And I think it's probably going to happen tonight. I'd like to think so. I think the news of Dylan Edwards being cleared to play could be monumental and could be the lightning rod that this team needs to get back into it. Knowing that. And knowing that they've got a bye week going into conference play, they don't want to have a bad taste in their mouth going into conference play. I'll take the Wildcats and I'll lay the points.
Paul, you've got a chance to disagree here.
Well, right now I wouldn't take K-State if they were playing Derby High and getting 5 points. I'd still take Derby.
I think I still would, but
yeah, I think I would too. Yeah.
Well, all right, but you get my point. I've got no confidence in this football team at this point. I'm going to take Arizona, and I think I might be on an island. And I think I like this island.
I don't know that you're going to be on an island with that. Let's find out. TJ?
Yeah, I really don't want to pick K-State based on what they've shown me, but I do agree that I think that the Dylan Edwards news just kind of changes things a little bit. If nothing else, it just changes the vibes around K-State. So I think they can get it done tonight.
I don't know how good Arizona is or not, Brandon, but I have to assume they're better than Army. You going to give Paul that island?
I don't want to. The thing about K-State's defense is going to be so banged up. They were on the field the entire game on Saturday, and now it's on a short week on the road. I don't want to pick them, but I think Avery Johnson's arm is just going to be a little too much tonight. Give me the Cats, and I'll let the defending champion have an island as much as I don't want to.
There you go. Thank you, guys.
I am pretty stunned that Paul got Arizona on their own. All right, hey, Georgia and
by Brandon, they're picking the Cats when they play the Cats.
There you go, pick the Cats. Georgia, Tennessee, at Tennessee. Tennessee's a home dog. 4 points, Tommy. 4 points enough at home to take the Vols?
No, I actually am going to tail PJ Glasser. We talked about this game, TJ and I did with PJ yesterday, and one of the things that PJ brought up is that Georgia only plays for the SEC. Like when they play non-conference FBS opponents or they play FCS teams, they don't cover the spread. That they're not good at that. Kirby Smart doesn't really show a whole lot against those opponents. But when SEC play kicks off, that's when the Georgia season kicks into high gear. And I agree with him on that. I think I'm pretty sure he's taking Georgia and laying those points. I'm going to tail him. I'm going to take the Bulldogs as well.
Paul?
Well, I'll tell you, this is a tough game because I really have a lot of respect for Tennessee and what they've done over the last few seasons. I really like Tennessee. I like the 4 points. I like the home. That's a lot to like. But I also like Georgia. But I'm going to go ahead and take another island because I see this as a second island for Paul. Paul's going to be great this week, or he's going to stink this week. One of the two. I'm taking Tennessee. Give me my island.
TJ, where are you at with this one?
You know, I kind of like Paul's philosophy there, and he sometimes just does pretty well in these things. I like Tennessee, so give me the Vols.
I am wow. Just on
Dasan Brame touchdown.
Brandon?
Yeah, Georgia owns Tennessee. They've won 8 straight. Excuse me, covered in 6 of those as well. Don't see that changing this time. Give me the Bulldogs.
I am not betting this game, but I'm not rooting for Georgia. Give me the home dog. Give me the 4 points. I'll take Tennessee. I don't want to root for Georgia. Get out of here with that. A&M and Notre Dame. Paul, you're up first. The Irish are 6.5 home favorites on this one. This is a true home game,
yeah,
right?
True, yes, home game. Yeah. I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
6.5 point favorites at home against the Aggies.
Well, Notre Dame may not be the team we all thought they were. I mean, I thought that they would show better against Miami, but you know, that's a tough place to go play. I can tell you there's a lot of distractions in the city of Miami when you go play there. I've experienced it. I understand that. I know how that works. I'm going to go ahead and take Notre Dame at home. I still don't have that confidence in Texas A&M. Give me the Irish.
Real quick, and I know we're trying to be efficient. What kind of distractions are you talking about, Paul?
Can you come back to the next thing
in Miami? They,
palm trees, beaches, and bikinis.
Oh,
okay.
You know what? In Paul's defense, that would distract me too. So I have
been distracted myself in Miami before. Okay. I was just, you know,
good.
Just
good.
Wondering. Yeah.
What is this, Bob and Tom?
What kinds of distractions that we were sitting there with? TJ, you taking the Irish? You taking the Aggies?
I'm going to keep my Kansas recruiting parlay going. Avery Johnson with the Cats, Desaun Brain with the Vols, Ian Premer with the Irish. Give me Notre Dame.
Okay. I that's a good enough reason, Brandon.
I like Texas A&M. Notre Dame stinks in home openers under Marcus Freeman. Give me the Aggies.
I like A&M's quarterback quite a bit, but I think Marcus Freeman's as good as we have. I have a hard time imagining Notre Dame losing twice this early in the season. I'm going to take the Irish. 6.5 points seems rich to me. I don't like that number. I like them to win, but I am going to lay the 6.5. It's within the 7 number. I'll go ahead and take it. Tommy?
I can't give Brandon an island here on A&M, and 6.5 is a lot of points. If it was more like 4.5, 3.5, somewhere around there, I'd probably lay the points with Notre Dame, but knowing that it's 6.5, give me A&M on the road.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is give a guy who's 5-14 a little bit of momentum.
I know, I'm sorry.
That's right. Yeah. All right, we go to the NFL now. We will select 3 NFL games. This puts TJ up first for our NFL picks. We've got Bears at the Lions. Lions, 6-point favorites at home. Both teams disappointed in their outcomes in week one. TJ, the Bears certainly played better than the Lions in week one. What do you think?
I'm going to bring back my favorite stat of these pick segments, Jared Goff in a dome. He's going back home and they're going to play way better than they did last week. They're covering that number.
Brandon, Dan Campbell doesn't like to play his guys in the preseason. The Lions historically start slow, probably partly because of it. Is 1 week enough to shake the rust off? Are they going to be good to cover a 6-point spread at home against the Bears?
I am still nervous about this Lions team without Ben Johnson. That offense did not look good, but I have no faith in Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson at all. Give me the Lions.
It's Ben Johnson revenge game a little bit. Revenge for what? I don't know. But, you know, the reunion's there. I think he probably has had things put aside for this game all offseason. I think the Lions will win it. I think the Bears will cover. Give me the 6 points. Give me the Bears. Tommy?
Yeah, look, I think that this is a prime bounce-back spot for the Lions. One of these two teams is going to be 0-2 in the division, which is wild after just 2 weeks. I like Ben Johnson. I think that what he's got going in Chicago is going to be really good. But I think that this is where Dan Campbell and the Lions, make their hay a little bit. And so I'm going to lay the points at home with the Lions. Give me them.
Paul, your Detroit Lions, given 6 points after looking the way they did in week one, how does that make you feel?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you remember correctly, I did not take the Lions. I had a last moment, epiphany. Can I use that word on the radio? Is that legal? Epiphany. But I had one.
I don't think there's anything wrong with epiphany.
And I'll tell you right now, I have no confidence in Caleb Williams. I just don't. I didn't think he was going to be a great pick when they picked him. I didn't even think he was a great quarterback at USC at times. I'm going to go ahead and take the Lions on this one as well, guys. That puts Jacob, you're on an island, I believe.
I got an island with 6 points in a divisional game. I don't feel too bad about that. Let's go to the other one on Sunday, and our last pick will be Monday Night Football, but we're going to get to Eagles-Chiefs now. The Chiefs are still, with the Xavier Worthy news yesterday, 1.5 point home dogs. Brandon, you're up first with this one. We know about Mahomes as a home dog. Like, we know all these things. What are you doing with this?
I do think the Chiefs are going to be able to have some success against the Eagles secondary, but I think this Eagles team is just better at this point in the second week of the season than the Chiefs. I'm going to ride with the defending champions on the road. Give me the Eagles.
I think it's a bad matchup at a bad time until I know that the Chiefs are able to run the ball. I think it just stylistically is not a good matchup for them in this one. We talked about it earlier. I could be wrong because Worthy could help them run a little more ball control. But at this point on Friday, we don't even know if Worthy's going to play. So I got to take the Eagles and I got to give the Chiefs the 1.5. Tommy?
I said it earlier in this game, or earlier in this day in the show, that there are probably 3 or 4 different ways that the Eagles can beat the Chiefs on Sunday. And there's maybe one path that the Chiefs have to win this game. They have to have it go a certain way. So I think that clearly leans on the Eagles. It clearly shifts things over to the Eagles. That being said, though, home underdogs, Patrick Mahomes, give me the Chiefs at home.
Yeah, it's not, it didn't have to be very logical.
Yeah.
It's Mahomes is a home dog, Paul. What do you think?
Well, let me give you something that's not logical as well. And that is the fact that let's factor in the trip to Brazil. You know, that could have had an effect that we just don't know. That's a heck of a trip. It's a long trip. You know, it's all kinds of new things going on. I'll tell you,
lots of distractions. Look at the bikinis in Brazil.
Rio is just full of bikinis, guys. Let me tell you. But anyway, with that being said,
they were in Sao Paulo, not Rio de Janeiro.
Well, but I mean, it's all the same in Brazil. Brazil, that's it.
I think we all know the ratio. The bikini ratio is slightly lower in Sao Paulo. Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Okay. All right, you got me. All right. So Tommy took the Chiefs. I'm going to also take the Chiefs. And I the reason I'm going with is because now they're home. They're on rock solid ground. It's a routine. They know the routine. Just give me the Chiefs just for that fact.
Not as many bikinis in Kansas City in September.
No.
TJ, where are you at with this one?
I think Patrick Mahomes, if the research was right, he's only been a home dog one time, and he lost that game. So he's 0-1 as a home dog, but there's a reason he's not a home dog very often. Right. So give me the Chiefs.
All right. So what is that? Brandon, you took the Eagles too. I was about to say, did I just get an Eagles Island?
No, you too.
We got that one an even split. All right. Let's go to Chargers Raiders Monday Night Football. It's the week where we get the Monday Night doubleheader, which I love. It just means I'm really tired here on Tuesday morning, but whatever, we'll deal with it. Chargers going to Vegas. Vegas is a 3.5 point home dog. Boy, this one's interesting to me. I think everybody in the world is riding the Chargers high because they beat Kansas City. I'm high on the Chargers, like real high on the Chargers. But I think Geno and Pete Carroll have got a little something cooking there. 3.5 points. If it was under 3, maybe, I'm going to take the field goal on the hook. Give me the Raiders at home here. You know, back-to-back road weeks for the Chargers, Brazil, and now to Vegas. I think there's still lots of bikinis in Vegas in September. So give me Vegas. Give me the 3.5 points, Tommy.
Oh, man, I'm high on the Chargers as well after last week. And I think that the Raiders are clearly ascending, and they've got something cooking there. I agree with you on that. That being said, though, I think the Chargers are further along in that process. I understand why they're the favorites in this game. I'm going to ride with them again.
Paul, what do you think on this one?
Well, this is an interesting game, and also with regards to the Raiders being the home game, I'm just gonna go ahead and take the Raiders. Be easy.
Well, it's not. Here's what makes it not easy, TJ, is we don't know if Brock Bowers is going to play. Didn't practice yesterday. Now that's not that big a deal. Remember, it's Monday Night Football. Today and tomorrow's practice reports are far more impactful. But right now, it's a question. I think if he wasn't playing, I don't think this line would be 3.5. I think Vegas expects him to play.
Yeah, I think that just I'm going to pick the Chargers for the sheer reason of whenever they were down in Brazil, they figured out to how to turn Quentin Johnson back into TCU Quentin Johnson. So they might have a wide receiver one on their hands and him as well. I don't know if it was his play on the field or what he was doing off the field down in Rio, but Quentin Johnson's good again. So give me the Chargers to cover that.
Wide receiver one, Ladd McConkey would like to have a word.
They got two now.
And Keenan Allen.
And Keenan Allen. Brandon, the Chargers are loaded. This is a Vegas conversation. I don't think anybody doesn't have high hopes or high expectations for the Chargers. It's really, what do you think of the Raiders? If they're any good, 3.5 points at home is a lot of points.
They are good, but I think they still have a little bit of a learning process to go. I think the Chargers are going to win. They're probably going to win by four. But yeah, I think there's just going to be a little bit too much at LA. They got a little bit extra rest as well. They got out of Sao Paulo, left those bikinis behind, got back to LA where there's definitely no bikinis. So they're locked and loaded for this game.
And not that anybody cares for this segment. I also think the Chargers are going to win. I just think it's going to be within the number. It's a points bet for me. All right, that's it. We made it.
Let's go.
With 30 seconds to spare on this. So we got it done. We're becoming more efficient. We're a more efficient offense here on our Sports Daily picks. So we get that done. It's in the books. Paul's got it all written down. You good over there, Paul? You got it?
I got it right there, big boy. It's all right there.
Clear as day.
There you go.
There it is. The official record keeping is in. We will be back next week to brag about it. So what we have coming next, we will keep the coach. We will keep TJ Cleland in to get us apprised of what's coming on A Catch at Kansas Friday in the high school football world. We'll do that all. I was out of town. I might need a little recap. What did we learn in week one? We'll do a little of that as well. As we make our way through Sports Daily. If you want to win some HTO right now, you can text the keyword T to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free cup of iced tea in East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. Come try the all new caramel apple iced tea. Again, that is T to 20357. Good luck there, everybody. Can't wait to talk a little high school football. We're in the full mix here, everybody. We're going to do that next. It is A Catch at Kansas Friday. Stick around. We've got more Sports Daily coming your way.
The commercials are over.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily on KFH on this Friday edition. Tommy Caster, Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage, TJ Cleland. I think we have Jacob Albrocht at some point. I don't know if He's MIA right now, but that's okay. We're going to talk some high school football. Catch at Kansas. It's funny, fellas, because you know we just heard Jacob before the break talk all about how he was out of town and didn't get to hear about what was going on in week one in high school football. We're about to talk high school football, and he's not sitting in his chair right now. So he's not going to get to hear about it until he, there he is.
Come on, man.
Like you were talking before the break about how you didn't know what was going on in the high school football world, my friend, and you weren't there to hear about high school football. Welcome back.
Yeah, I look up and all of a sudden I'm like, Hayes beats Derby? And that was in Derby, wasn't it?
In Derby. Well, 2-point conversion at the end of the game.
Hold on a second. That's a good football team there.
Mm-hmm. Hayes. Oh, I know it is. I know we had high expectations for
Okay.
Hayes.
All right.
Don't misunderstand.
Okay, I got you.
But going into Derby and beating Derby, we also had high expectations for Derby.
Right.
And like that's what I was just like. Oh, it's going to be this kind of high school football season. Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. So I would ask you this, TJ, Brandon, as you look at the list of games, where's that game this week? Like, who's going to open our eyes like that this week?
Yeah, I think when you look, obviously, Paul's going to be on hand on the sideline tonight, East Northwest. When you look, Northwest has as much talent as anybody in the state. They struggled a little bit against Carroll. Last week, we were able to put up enough points in the second half to run away with a 42-21 win. But I mean, I think Northwest, a lot of people expect them to be there at the end of the year. We have a fun game tonight as well in Valley Center. Hutch going to Valley Center, two teams that put up massive offensive numbers in week one, going up against each other in Valley Center. We're going to have coverage of both those games. And then smaller schools around here, but Hoisington and Heston's also a really spicy game. Heston has as much talent in this area in that 3A level outside of Andale. Both of those teams met last year when they were 7-0, and Andale put a beat into the Swathers, and Heston, they have it out this year. That's a game that they really want, so they're going to continue to try building, and it starts week two tonight against Hoisington.
By the way, high school football coverage on Sports Daily is brought to you by Zintex. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. Paul, Brandon mentioned this. Do you think that your guys there at East get as hyped for any game on the schedule in any year than Northwest? Is this the one?
Well, I think we're not only the only team. I think most teams, because they're the one to beat. They're the one with all the accolades, with all the D1 offers and all that kind of thing going on. Now, it was a heck of a game with Carroll last week against for Northwest. I've seen a lot of the film. I've watched a lot of the film on Northwest and Carroll. Guys, Carroll's better than they've been for a while. Mark it down. They're not a bad football team.
Definitely not.
And they're going to beat some other teams. They're bigger. They're faster. They're stronger. They have gotten some good kids developed and ready to go. I don't know where they've been the last couple years, but this is not your normal – well, I should say normal. This is not your last year, 2-3 years. Carroll football team, this is a really good football team. That's going to be an up-and-comer, and they're going to upset some people before this is all said and done. Now, with that being said, we've also got some interesting situations like particularly in the City League. One is that South may not be as good as I thought they were. Last week, you were in with us, I believe, and mm-hmm. we talked about South. I said I was giving them accolades. I'm not sure they're going to be.
They trip up in week one.
They do. They trip up in week one. I'm stunned at that. I'm very, very surprised. So that's going to be interesting. Capen is still going to be a team to beat. They're going to give Northwest a run for the money just as
they kind of had a little bit of a slow start, by the way, against Andover, but they were finally able to kind of turn it around in the second half.
But they ended up winning the game, and that was the big thing. And were they as good as they could be? A lot of people, Tommy, on week one are not as good as they're going to end up being. That's just the way that works. But
especially with that weather last week, it was pouring. It was not ideal weather for anybody in week one.
By the way, you brought up Heston just a few seconds ago. We had them in our Jubilee this year. And let me tell you, Heston's a good football team.
They're fantastic.
Do not look past Heston. Mm-hmm. They are a very, very good football team. And the other team that's kind of an interest to me would be Collegiate. And Collegiate has a really good test with Rose Hill. They need a bounce back from a loss to Wellington. You know, there's no shame in losing to Wellington, fellas. Wellington's a good football team. But Collegiate will have its hands full with Rose Hill. They also were in that Jubilee that we were in. Heston and Rose Hill and Cheney were also there. And Rose Hill is going to be a great test. They're going to be a good test for Collegiate. And those are some things that I'm kind of keeping my eye on and watching. But, you know, Northwest will be a fun game. We all live to play these kind of games. That's what we do.
Yeah, you mentioned Wellington. They're going to Andale tonight as well. We all know about Andale, a good 4A team in Wellington, going to the best 3A team in the state. So that's one. That's our game of the week. That's what we'll have coverage on. And then another one, we mentioned Hayes. We won't be out in Hayes for this game, but they're playing Choctaw out of Oklahoma, reigning state champion. So that's going to be another great game, another good litmus test.
No, nothing for the Hayes about Indians. Choctaw, but if they're the reigning champion, which I know
they're a state champion. That's all I know.
There you go. Well, that's tremendous. And anyway, go ahead.
I love it. I love the round table. I love the discussions on it. It all, of course, comes to a head. TJ, what kinds of Ketchikansas coverage can we expect today throughout the day? Because it's not just after the games finish, right? You can get the scores. It's much, much more than that.
Yeah, I don't think TJ's in here. I will take it. TJ's also off for the evening. Enjoy that. But yeah, we have Wellington Andale, as I said, our game of the week. Rachel's going to be out there previewing that live beginning at 4:30. We're also going to have weather out there, so getting weather, getting everything set for your high school slate across the area. We're also going to have live coverage from Valley Center beginning, as I said, at 4:30, and that live coverage begins at 5. Goes all the way up until 6:30, and then after the games, we'll have our Ketchikansas show beginning at 10:35 on the CW with myself and Rachel Hallam, breaking down all the games from across the state. I think we have highlights from 10 games maybe tonight. We also are going to have coverage from that K-State game as well, keeping an eye on that. So a busy, busy night over at 12 News.
And, of course, KetchikKansas.com will have you all covered in the Ketchikansas app. We've got a few minutes left, fellas, which is a perfect opportunity because I know Tommy has been chomping at the bit and disappointed we have not had a chance to talk about Thursday night football yet. Tommy's Green Bay Packers. Are you comfortable with that yet, Tommy? Your Green Bay Packers?
My Green Bay Packers? Yeah, I'm okay
Tommy's,
with that.
Tommy's Green Bay Packers looked very strong last night in their win against the Washington Commanders. It was 27-18. Washington did get some points late. Never felt like to me that it was particularly close. Tommy, we'll start with you. I got to tell you, and listen, I think I had Green Bay even missing the playoffs. But what was irresponsible in that for me is I also expected them to have one of, if not the best defenses in football this year. And that was probably enough to not say something like that. It's even better now, obviously, with Micah Parsons. If Jordan Love if he's the dude, and he's not going to get as much time every week as he had last night, but if he's the dude, they are going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I mean, that was the key to the victory last night for them, was the fact that they did what they needed to do offensively. It wasn't like this crazy wild output offensively, but they did what they needed to do, and then their defense was just suffocating, and really they were able to contain Jaden Daniels pretty well, especially in the first half where they, you know, kept them out of the end zone and really limited them to field goal opportunities in that first half. They do have a little bit of concern. It's kind of like the Chiefs, where they're depleted at wide receiver. Jaden Reed goes down with an injury. They're already without Christian Watson. They're going to have to figure that part of it out. And you know, I don't know if they are going to be looking
Wicks
externally.
And Dobbs and
right.
Golden. I mean, they've drafted a billion of them.
They have. So I don't know exactly what the
Tucker
answer
Kraft
is there. Tucker Kraft is, I think, the X factor in that. He had a phenomenal game last night. But yeah, I'm comfortable owning them. They were my NFC representative in the Super Bowl this year.
Brandon, you know what they're starting to remind me of a little bit? And it's mostly defensively. They're starting to remind me of those great Giants teams that took down the Patriots. They're going to create so much pressure now with Parsons there in that front four that it is going to allow them to do so many. They were already going to be a great defense, and now that pressure comes just with four. Man, they're going to be, that's why to me, that's what, it's going to be hard to score on them this year.
Yeah. I, I am skeptical until I see them play up against. I think these two teams that they've played, the Lions and the Commanders, I both think they have major offensive line issues. The Lions had to replace everybody on their interior from this last year. The Commanders obviously add Laremy Tunsil, but they have struggled elsewhere on the offensive line. But I think this Green Bay team is really, really good. And as a Vikings fan, I absolutely hate that they went out and added Micah Parsons. But, I mean, that's going to be a great team to follow all throughout the year. I had them as a playoff team going into the season, and watching them these first 2 weeks only validates that even more.
Paul, it'll take 3 or 4 years to truly evaluate the Parsons trade and everything else. But in the short term, through 2 weeks, it's going to make him better. Like, unless he's hurt, it's going to make him better this year.
Oh, you think so? You think so?
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big boy, that's kind of an understatement. And right now, I don't know that you need those kind of games. I'm kind of starting my evaluation process right now. And right now, I like the way they're playing up front. That might be one of the most dominant up front fours on defense in the entire league. It could very well be. I know there's some really good ones, but man, they are good. They're quick. They're fat and they're physical. That's the other thing. It's not just like, you know, they're running around blocks and you know, Olaying offensive linemen to make plays. That's not what they're doing. They're being physical.
They let go of a Pro Bowl defensive tackle too. They've had to prove they can stop the run without him. You know, he wasn't, right. It wasn't just draft picks in that trade. And that's where they've really stepped up. But Brandon's point is good. Those are two teams right now with flawed offensive lines that could just be a matchup, you know, condition that favors the Packers. What do they do against a team with a good offensive line? I think that'll be the next test for them, but certainly in the NFC, I don't feel any more confident in any other team in that conference right now than it looks like we will with the Green Bay Packers.
Until J.D. McCarthy takes down Michael Penix on Sunday Night Football.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Michael Penix.
Michael
Penix. Let's be very clear about the way his last name is pronounced.
Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're a little off the rails this morning. That's okay. It's early on a Friday morning. Why not? Real quick reminder, K-State football tonight at Arizona. That is a Friday night game. You'll hear it right here on KFH. And the coverage for it begins at 6 o'clock. So it takes a minute. It feels late in the season to be playing Friday night games, I'll be perfectly honest.
Yeah, let me give another quick programming note. So we last week debuted here on KFH the Kansas High School Scoreboard Show for high school football. All the scores around the state because of K-State football. That's going to be preempted tonight, so you'll be able to get all the scores tomorrow morning. We'll air that show tomorrow morning, and of course, the Catch a Kansas show on TV will continue, so that's where you'll want to find all the coverage.
Well, I love it because as people are driving home, they can listen to that scoreboard show, and then when they get home, they can flip on the Catch a Kansas show. We are your spot for high school football this year. All right, we'll come back up. We'll wrap up the week then.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.